What kind of an employee are you on the job? Or what kind of an executive are you? I mean, are you one that works consistently well, that gives it your all? Are you a person that does it, so to speak, as unto the Lord? So that there's no room for finding fault in you as much as you know? And what if someone were to try to accuse you? Would they really have a just accusation? We're going to talk about a man today in that situation. Daniel chapter 5 seems to just float right into Daniel chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 5, the last verse tells us that Darius the Mede was given the kingdom at the age of 62. In Daniel chapter 6, it says, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. In other words, he's going to divide the kingdom and put these satraps, these governors, so to speak, over 120 divisions, but there are going to be three men that those 120 are going to answer to. And one of those three men is Daniel. And it says that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. He's taken over this huge kingdom. He's got to get it organized. And so this is the way he's organizing it. It's interesting to me that it seems that Daniel was there but not recognized under the reign of Belshazzar. But now that Darius has conquered, maybe he saw Daniel in that purple robe. Maybe he saw them with him with that gold chain around his neck. Maybe he knew what Daniel said. But Daniel's one of the top three men under Darius. And it says, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. In other words, it would be Darius, and then it would be Daniel, then it would be the commissioners, then it would be the satraps. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel. You know, you're going to find anti-Semitism every place you go. And we find that the Jews are called oftentimes the wandering Jews because God has scattered them throughout all the nations. And it seems that there's it belongs to the family of Satan, and that is anti-Semitism. Because there's always going to be a conflict from Genesis 3:15 on. You see, I will put enmity, God says, between you, the serpent, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. In other words, between the seed of Satan and the seed that the woman is going to produce. And you can trace the genealogy of Jesus back through the genealogy of David, back through the genealogy of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, and back to Adam and Eve. And so it goes all the way back. We can trace everybody's genealogy back to Adam and Eve. But anyway, that's the way it went. And so it said that they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption inasmuch as he was faithful. And no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. They looked, they tried to find a way to accuse him, but they could not legitimately accuse him because of the way he did his job. That's the way it should be with you and me. If anybody has an accusation against us, it ought to be an illegitimate one because we are doing everything that we should and we are doing it exceedingly. You know, I'm so proud. I was talking to my son the other day, and he says, Mother, I have instilled in my children that it is a Getz translation. It's a Getz tradition, excuse me, that the Getzes are known as hard workers. See, what are we known as? It says, then these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. That's the only way we're going to get him. We can't get him any other way because he's incorruptible. He cannot be bought. He's always going to do what's right. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction. Now, you want to mark this word injunction, that anyone who makes a petition. Now, I mark petition the way I mark prayer. Anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days, he shall be cast into the lion's den. Now listen, now, O king, establish the injunction. Sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. It says, therefore, the king signed the document that is the injunction. The king didn't think it through. The king didn't stop and say, now, why are they doing this? In fact, the king, they may have presented it in such a way as, look, you're the new king. You've taken over a new kingdom. Now, what we need to do is we need to assure your new kingdom. And we can assure it this way by saying no one is going to be allowed to pray to any other god or make a petition to any other god during this time or any other man besides you, O King Darius. In other words, we will solidify your headship this way. And tell them that if this is broken, they will be cast into a den of lions. Now, this is going to be a law of the Medes and Persians, which means it cannot be revoked. Now, when you think of it, they looked at these men almost as deities. And therefore, whatever injunction they made, it was like coming from the gods. So therefore, if they made a law, it could not be broken. It could not be changed. It could not be altered. And this is where the king didn't think this through. The king didn't know Daniel like the men knew Daniel. The men knew that Daniel was such a man of integrity, such a godly man, that this is where they could catch him. They knew that he would continue to be a man of prayer. They knew that they had sealed his fate. The only thing is, they forgot who his God was. It says, therefore, King Darius signed the petition, the document, that is the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, when he knew, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He knew the decree. He knew the edict. He knew it could not be revoked. But he also knew his God. And he knew that what kept him strong all those years, what kept him on that straight and narrow, what caused him to excel was the fact of his relationship with God, his communion with God. And not only that, but he was obeying 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we have what happened when Solomon built the temple. And when Solomon built this permanent temple in Jerusalem where God wanted it built, he called out to God. He says, yet have regard to the prayer of thy servant, verse 19, and to the supplication, O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prays to thee, that thine eyes may be open towards this house. In other words, you're in heaven, you're looking down on this house day and night toward the place which thou hast said thou wouldst put thy name. In other words, the tabernacle was built because God's name was going to be there. The temple that was built by Solomon is a permanent edifice was put there because his name was going to be there. He says to listen to the prayer which thy servant shall pray towards this place. And then if you go through 2 Chronicles and you mark this key repeated phrase, if a man does this, if a man does that, and you mark the word sin, then you find out that he's saying, when we sin this way, when we sin this way, and when you do this, if we pray towards this place, then, Lord, hear our prayer. And so he's establishing the house of God in Jerusalem as the place to pray. And he talks about when an enemy comes, and that enemy comes and conquers us and scatters us throughout the whole world or into another nation, if your people who are in those other places will turn towards Jerusalem and pray, then you will hear their prayer and you will answer from heaven. Am I saying words that kind of ring a bell? Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 7, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. Verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour my land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who were called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. What was Daniel doing? He was doing what God had written about and what was recorded in the Word of God and the promises that had been passed down about the temple in Jerusalem. That's why three times a day he would, on the roof chamber of his house with the doors open, where he could look toward Jerusalem, where he in the east could look toward the west, and he would bow there and he would pray in obedience to the word of God that God might heal their land. We're going to see and learn more about that healing when we come to Daniel chapter 9. But this is what he says. It says, then these men came by agreement, and they found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. They were not surprised. They knew that this was a man of integrity. They knew that this was a man who loved God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. I want to ask you a question. If people threatened you because of your Christianity, would they know that you would not alter, that you would not vacillate, that you would not compromise? Because above all, they knew that you would be true to your God. I mean, what an awesome acclamation was made by these men in their plot to get Daniel, because they knew that this man would not compromise. Don't compromise, beloved. We'll talk about it more when I come back.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by, because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today.
What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Had worked. The commissioners, the governors, the prefects, the satraps, all the people that were ahead of this kingdom knew now they had Daniel, because the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be revoked. He was going into the lion's den. They didn't have to fear that they would have some Jew ruling over them. The only thing that they didn't bring into account was this Jewish man's God. Remember, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Apple is another way of saying the pupil of God's eye. Anybody go like this to touch your pupil? I mean, you're going to close it quick. You're going to put up your hand. You're going to protect it. Watch what happens. It says, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man beside you or king for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And the king answered and said, the statement is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petitions 3 times a day. Then, as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. This king admired Daniel. This king wanted Daniel as the head under him. And he set his mind on delivering Daniel. How can I get out of this? How can I change this? And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. There was no way. There was no way. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it could not be revoked. Then these men came by agreement. I mean, look at the plotting. To the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. The king then gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. I can't deliver you, Daniel, but your God, now listen to how he describes him, which you constantly serve. Oh, to have someone say that about me. You constantly, constantly, constantly serve God. To have people that don't even know God to say, you constantly serve your God. He's got to deliver you. He's got to deliver you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Because they've all come to the point where only one can be the Savior. Only one can be the deliverer. Man's tried. No one can deliver except God. Oh, beloved, you may be in a situation right now just like that. Just remember that a sovereign God can deliver you. I have hanging in my living room, our living room, a picture from my grandmother's house. It's the most awesome picture of Daniel standing in the lion's den. Let me show you what that picture's all about. It says, and a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet ring of his nobles, so that nothing might be changed in regard to Daniel. In other words, boy, these guys were going to be sure that there was no hanky-panky in getting Daniel out of that lion's den. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. He was just pacing the floor. He couldn't sleep, no entertainment, couldn't wait until the morning. Then the king arose with the dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice, and the king spoke and said to him, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel! And Daniel answered back, oh, King, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent toward him. Now listen, and innocent toward you. My praying to my God was not an act against you. It was simply, I must obey God. And if I obey him and the authority that is set up disagrees with that, then I have to suffer the punishment. Daniel didn't yell. He didn't scream. He didn't plot. He didn't beg. He went into the lion's den trusting God. And God delivered him. He says, I have committed, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he trusted his God. He trusted his God. He did not compromise. This was a man that did not vacillate. This was a man that did not compromise. This was a man whose integrity held. And this was a man who would not violate his relationship with God in order to save his life. This was a man that God delivered from the plots of men. And beloved, God does not always deliver. In Revelation, you see that they are to be patient in their suffering and knowing that the devil will try some of them and cast them into prison, and some of them would die. But God still delivers. He still delivers. The most important thing in your life and in my life is that consistency of relationship with God. Don't let anything take it away. Don't let anyone steal it. Don't let anyone pull you away or distract you from your time with God. It's your lifeline. It is your lifeline, and it is what will hold you in the lion's den. It is what will shut the mouths of lions. It is what will make you come through as more than a conqueror. It says, then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. Listen, they took every one of those men that had plotted against Daniel. The king did it. I mean, he was the king. And he just got them all because he realized what they were doing. Now, your boss may not always realize someone's plots against you. But you can know this, God in heaven knows. And God will, in his way, sustain you, protect you, keep you. He may let you go through the fire. He may let you be fired. He may let you, go unemployed. But he has not left you. He has not left you. This is a testimony of victory. And it's a testimony of victory because God's not through with Daniel. And God still has a job for Daniel to do. He's going to stay in power all the way. Well, let's read it. It says, They had not reached the wives, the children, and these men that plotted against them, had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Crushed all their bones. The lions didn't have their mouths shut because they weren't hungry, obviously. God had shut the mouths of the lions. Now listen, when you're in a lion's den, if you'll look at that picture that was in my grandma's house, you would see that Daniel was not looking at the lions, but he was looking through the light coming through the window. He was looking to his God. When you're found in the lion's den, beloved, don't look at the lions, look to God. It says, then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree. Nebuchadnezzar had done the same thing. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his kingdom will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. You know, as you act like Daniel acted, as you don't retaliate against those people, as you bless those that curse you, as you pray for your enemies, as the Sermon on the Mount says, as you live a Daniel kind of example among them, people are going to see what an awesome God you have. They may not believe in him, but they will know that if they had been in the same situation, they wouldn't have acted as you had acted. It says, so this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Do you know that it was Cyrus the Persian, when he got his kingdom together, made the decree that the Jews were now to return and rebuild Jerusalem. In Isaiah chapter 45, in the end of 44, and all the way through Isaiah 45, God names Cyrus about 175 years before he ever comes to power. God names Cyrus as a king, and he tells how this king will deliver, will send the children of Israel back to their land, and how he will help them rebuild the temple. This is our God. How great a God we have. How wonderful a God we serve. Oh, beloved, may you be known as a man, as a woman, as an employee, as a mother, as a father, as a single person, as a person who constantly serves their God. May you be known for your consistency in your walk, and may there be found no fault against you because you are living for God in such a way that you are bringing him the honor and the glory and the power and the strength due his name. Oh, Father, thank you for the example of this man, Daniel. May we be Daniels for this century.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.